Podcast One Sports presents Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Every Tuesday, you can hear Jack Harbaugh.
We're going to attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Jim Harbaugh.
What the hell's going on around here?
And JT Rogan share their stories from on and off the field. Past guests include John Harbaugh, ESPN's Adam Schefter, and Pardon My Takes, PFT and Big Cat. So don't miss an episode of Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Every Tuesday, exclusively on PodcastOne.com and the new Podcast One app. Just a sample of what's coming to Podcast One Sports.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend.
Get it on.
We appreciate that.
A little enthusiasm this morning.
We like it when you tell people stuff. What's going on, Drewski?
And I do mean this morning.
Yeah, man.
I dig this. I'm a morning person, man.
You know, when I hear you and Ray.
Yeah.
When it gets incredibly hot outside,
hey, Ray, slow down. Rarely do I hear those two words in the same breath. You and Ray, meaning
you
me
and Ray.
Go ahead.
The only thing that makes it worse when it's very sticky and very hot outside and it's very uncomfortable is when Ray makes the proclamation, I like the heat.
Yeah.
That makes it worse.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it makes it worse.
Well, I like the mornings.
And when you announce, I like the mornings, then it makes it worse.
I'm sorry.
It's a good topic. I think to myself, certainly around the first of the year every year, but I think to myself nine times a year, if I could go to bed at 10 and get up at 6 a.m., I would have a much better quality of life.
Yes.
I would just have a better quality of life.
You would get more done, I predict. In addition to having quality, you actually measurably get more done.
Yeah, no. There's no doubt. I would get more done. It's hard. I mean, I don't want to be pompous, but I get a ton done, or as much as I want to get done now. It's more about a life, and not. I mean, in terms of getting stuff done, I get a ton of stuff done because what I do is I figured out a way to have nine people getting stuff done with me, and I run back and forth and check with them.
Sure.
And I've said...
You delegate.
You call it delegate, but it's not really delegate when you run back and forth every 10 minutes. You know what I mean? It's not people's definition of delegating.
Okay, all right.
You know, I treat my life a lot like I do when I build a house. And I can tell you right now that I've done whole houses, I've done master bedroom suites, I've done full kitchens with people that were novices, like at best. And it's all about...
That's an interesting new TV show or business even. Adam teaches building. Adam takes novices and makes them master artisans.
I will and do big projects with people that don't know much at all.
Do you understand how appealing that is for somebody that really doesn't know what they're doing? I mean, it's like, oh my God, you could do that with me? Really? Could I? Maybe?
You could. I'd have to run in and I'd have to explain to you what we're doing, like how we're doing. Like,
I think you'd have to hold my hand. And
well, for you, forget to put a finger in your ass.
Your whole fist up there.
Whole fist.
Like a
puppet.
Yeah.
No, I run in, I tell people what to do, I get them lined out, I do a bunch of, I've now learned like a lot of what not to do. Yeah. I've also learned like a lot of backup commands, like it's a lot of go down to the Anawalt, get quarter inch drywall. Hold on. If they don't have quarter inch drywall, get 3/8.
Yeah.
Don't just go, they're out of quarter inch and come back. Just get 3/8.
Yeah, there's no way we know. There's no way that the novice would know. There's no, we have no judgment.
Yeah,
we have
no, because
you have to think of all that backup stuff.
Because I know they may not carry quarter inch. They're probably going to have 3/8. 3/8 will work, but I don't want you to come back with nothing.
Well, you know what that's like? That's actually like being a physician educator. When you're dealing with medical students and residents and stuff, it's always like, okay, that's the plan. What's your backup? What's your backup? And you don't have a backup. Hey. No, not okay. Because you always think, you know, you can't fault people for... making the wrong move, right? They think it through. They make their choice. It's the wrong one. Well, now what are you going to do? You better know.
Well, you fault people for not picking up the phone.
Yeah.
What I fault people for is the endless times I tell them, if they're out of the quarter inch, then you stop and you call and you say they're out. What would you like me to do? But now I've removed that. But either way, I run around. we made a documentary about Paul Newman, and I spent 1,000 hours in the edit bay. We made a documentary about Ford versus Ferrari at Le Mans, and I spent 175 hours or 200 hours in the edit bay. And we just are finishing one on Willie T. Ribbs, and we did. I mean, we submitted it to Sundance and blah, blah, blah. It's not quite done to my liking, but I've spent about 7 hours in the edit bay. People around you get a little bit better, and also you
that's
get...
not a little bit. That's a big jump.
Well, I was going to say personnel changes sometimes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. People get better, and then you get better at popping in and out, doing a shotgun blast of here's what I want, sort of big picture.
Yeah, so your judgment gets better on how to shape things without having to be there.
Right, and then you pop out again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my life is just a sort of never-ending succession of that. But all that being said, yes, the one thing, it's a kind of a thing that if you could, like one of those, here's what I wish for my children.
Yeah.
I wish there were morning people. I wish they went to bed at 10 o'clock on their, you know, that they read and drank some postum or herbal tea at about 9:30, and then at 10:15 dozed off and woke up on their own at 6:10 every morning.
What time do kids go to bed now?
Like about 10:30 or something like that.
That's late.
It is late.
For kids.
Yeah. Early for me. I don't know how much of this is, I assume a lot of this is just a natural wiring, because some people go to bed early and some people get up late. I don't know any comedian who goes to bed early.
You can say,
well, you're out playing clubs.
Yeah,
but none out playing clubs are not. They're just that you get hold of those guys in junior high and high school. They were up till 3 in the morning. They're up. First off, every single one of them was up watching Letterman when Letterman came on at 12:30 at night.
Yeah.
And that's on a Wednesday. Like, you know, when they're in the ninth grade. Like, that's who those dudes are.
Yeah.
They're nocturnal creatures. And I don't know how you rewire yourself. I mean, I can tell you, I got up early this morning. First things first, you have to be able to get up at any time and do anything. That's the first rule. There's people out there that just don't do it, can't do it.
Well, you and I have had that conversation, right? And we used to travel at 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, and we'd always both be at the elevator right at the right moment. And we've had these conversations about how we just can do that, but we know a lot of people that can't. Maybe we're married to people that can't.
Well, I've just known people that, you know, the alarm goes off at 4:45 in the morning, and you go, you know, what happened? Where were I? I'm sick. I felt sick. And in a weird way, Drew.
Yeah.
Dig.
Hey, by the way, if you go to last week's Dr. Drew podcast, you can hear me and Susan Pinsky and Lynette Carolla having this conversation. Go ahead.
Please dig.
Yeah.
We're now figuring out that these back pains are sort of phantom. Oh, yeah. You want your opioids.
And related to sleep, too, to some extent. But go ahead.
I'm drawing another analogy, which is, do you have back pain or do you want your opioids? And you want your opioids.
Sure.
Okay. Are you sick or do you want to sleep? Because the power, here's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because your brain just goes, sick.
Well, here's what I'm saying. My back is not going to tell me I need opioids, but there are many people who do.
Well, but your back's just going to go, I have pain. That's all your back's going to do.
No, I know.
But the point is,
Where's my pen? Listen to me. Your kid's getting this?
No. But you're
missing my point.
No, I got your point. You got to make it explicit, though, is that your body can only tell you things certain ways.
Yeah, your back. Yeah. Your body wants opioids, so your back's going to do its job.
Yep.
That's okay. Right. Everyone exactly knows right. that. except for you don't know everyone knows that. But just quiet.
They don't. I'm
they all know that. Your back doesn't want opioids. Your back, your brain wants opioids, and your back is going to create that. Right. Okay. There, you know, when the alarm, and it's interesting, because I know people that fall asleep. The same people can fall asleep in front of the TV. They can fall asleep, you know, just on a chair while they're reading. Yeah. You know, they can just boom, just yeah. like anywhere. I have to go to bed.
Yeah.
Like, I have to turn on the thing, get on the eye shade, put in the earplugs, like, fucking fluff the pillow.
Fan going. Other like, kinds of fluffing.
I have other fluff and folds. I got to go to bed.
I know. Now, I remember.
I don't care, and I've had it a million times. I mean, I've done two shows in Atlantic City, gone out and signed autographs till 1 in the morning and told Mike August, I'll meet you in the lobby at 4 a.m. to drive to Philadelphia to take the first flight out, and I'm just there. Mm. Now, when the alarm goes off, I don't like it, but it shall not be ignored.
Oh, yeah.
It'll never – there's no gear that reaches over and slaps it and dozes, and there's no part of me that goes, oh, my God – I feel like shit. I'm just going to catch the next flight, or I'll catch an afternoon flight.
Can't even imagine that.
Well, you can't. You can, and many people can't imagine back pains for opioids. But for the people where the sleep is that powerful, I've had it happen a million times with a million people I know, where it's like, where were you? You know, we were going to meet at 5 in the morning. I felt like shit. I got up at 4:15. I had something. I don't know what it was, but it was bad, and I'm no good. Like, I can't work. I can't fly. I can't.
Now, you and me were suspect.
And then they go back to bed.
Yeah.
Well, the reason we're suspect is when you see them at noon, and
they go,
I'm going to go take a Pilates class.
Yeah,
you go, well, wait a minute.
But the point is, what we don't know, and I probably can't even ever be answered,
if it's real.
Right. Because we don't experience that. Maybe it is something. I'm thinking of the difference between you and me with fevers. With me with fevers and things, I can't get up. I can't. And you're like hanging doors and stuff. And it's like.
Well, it's not quite the same. I think it's more the opioid thing, which is a fever will knock me out. I just don't get them.
No, you,
but
right,
if I get
right.
them, it'll knock me down.
Right.
But feeling a cold or whatever doesn't knock me down, or better yet, I don't get sick. But what I'm saying is telling the person you don't have back pain when they do have back pain, and then you start drifting off into this bizarre chicken or the egg thing, which is, yeah, but you only have it because you want this Vicodin, but you don't know it.
Yeah.
So, and then you get into another strata, which is, so tell it to stop without the opioids. How are you going to tell your lower back not to hurt
exactly
without
right.
the opioids? Right. And the person who slaps the alarm at 5 a.m. and goes, oh, I'm sick, I can't make it. Are they sick?
Yeah.
And it's easy to get yourself to feel sick as it is to get your back to hurt, which is you wake up and you go, oh, my head, you know.
Yeah.
But first things first. You go to bed at midnight and the alarm goes off at 4:45. You never feel
good.
You don't feel good.
No, yeah.
No, you and I know you get up, you take a shower, you move around a little, you have a cup of coffee, and you're
keep
moving.
Going, yeah,
right.
Just keep
right.
Moving. But in a weird way, we've trained ourselves, and I don't know if you know that limiting step of being unable to get past the I'm sick. You know what I mean? If they can get past that, will they then feel okay? Will they be able to function? Or will they keep feeling quote sick?
Yes, you can part of, and maybe, Drew.
Yeah? Dig.
When people talk about grit, maybe that's what they're talking about.
And maybe it has a biological genetic component.
I'm sure it does, and I'm sure you can also learn it.
Yeah.
Has it biologically or genetically comes from less grit than I do, but I beat it into myself.
But you also are pretty tolerant. Your body is pretty tolerant of being stressed, of all kinds of stresses. You know?
Yes.
But let me say something, which is I have not articulated this, but I've been thinking it lately. Whenever I study the genetic versus environment contribution to any behavior or any characteristic or any fill in the blank, whatever it is, human phenomenon, then the term 60% comes up again and again and again. I first saw it in alcoholism. The way we say it in alcoholism and addiction is that the genetic contribution of to the manifestation of the disease of alcoholism is 60%. In other words, if you, the contribution is 60%, and I keep seeing that number. So I'm thinking that when it comes to human outcomes, about 60% of what we are, given any characteristic or behavior, is about 60% and about 40% environment. Does that fit your
– 60%
genetic. It's not 50-50. It's not 50-50. It's 60-40.
Yeah.
When you say what is the contribution of genetics alone, it comes up around 60% when you look at most behaviors, most illnesses, most fill in the blank, whatever.
Well, yeah. I guess it depends when you get ill. I think for illnesses, it's greater than 60% under the age of 60. And then over the age of 60, maybe it's more environment, lifestyle, you know, that yeah. kind of stuff
yeah.
shifts around. But either way, yeah, and all you have to do is have twins or triplets to
yeah.
get it real quick yeah. that people are very different.
Genetically, yeah.
Oh, from the get-go. Yeah. But is up to you to recognize that, whether it's a capacity to put on weight easily or capacity to want to sleep in or capacity to what have you, and then start focusing on it and working harder to push up against it.
And dig this. People argue about what's the parental contribution? What about the parents? What about the parents? Oh, it's actually their peers. It's how they grew up. It's the environment they grew up in. Let me finish my equation. Here's my equation. 60% genes, 40% environment, and the parents are the buffer to the environment. They determine the power of the gene-environment interaction. How's that sound?
Yeah. No,
is that
like
about
that.
Right?
Yeah. They're the conductor of the gene-environment band.
Yeah.
No, it's true, and I believe that there's a lot of – as I look at a lot of these families and a lot of the chaos and a lot of the screaming and a lot of the physical abuse and the families with no dads and everything else, I go, these kids are traumatized.
Oh, yeah.
They are, you know, when yeah. you see.
Then they go into the environment and they reenact it.
Yeah, somebody sent me a tweet of a woman like kind of going insane on some veteran with a service dog, and she was just screaming and screaming. I don't know, they're at a sandwich shop and she's going ballistic. And I just said to Lynette, this woman has PTSD.
Right.
She grew up in some sort of insane, you know, we are so naive that we go, what's wrong with this bitch? Or quiet down. Or, why? What's the big whoop? And by the way, I sort of agree with the chick in the sense that I don't want a dog inside a food place either.
But the way it manifests.
But she was like going insane. And I said, this woman's traumatized.
Of course.
She's a trauma survivor.
Yeah, of course. Let's see it.
All right. Have you ever seen this?
No.
Okay.
Oh, read the spot first, then we'll see it.
I don't read spots. I mean, feel them.
Share the spot with me. Share it with me.
I do the spots.
You deuce?
I deuce the spots. Blinds galore, man. Oh, they do one thing and they do
guys.
It better than anyone else.
I really
else.
Do.
You should. 100% custom window treatments to your exact measurements down to the very last detail. Yep. Over 2 million windows and counting, their experts will guide you through every step of the way. Every step of the way. Plus, free samples, free shipping, and free expertise. That's – we talk about experience, right, Drew?
We do.
Experience. That's yeah. what they have at Blinds
Galore. They have experience, and they have expertise, and they share it.
Yes,
they
experience and expertise. Thank you very much. I have them. Drew has them. We have them in the studio. We have them in the edit bay. We have them at the house. Drew has them in the pool house. Mm-hmm. It's all Blinds Galore.
We even have outdoor ones. We have outdoor blinds that they helped us with. I never
no
thought of that.
There's no place that they don't. We don't have Blinds Galore. And
it actually changed the quality of our life because the sun doesn't blast into our house anymore. It's crazy.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Please help yourself.
Yeah.
BlindsGalore.com. Let them know. You heard it here at blindsglory.com. Anyway, somebody tweeted me this. It was a veteran with PTSD. He had what looked like a Great Dane. I don't know. It's a lot of service.
Sense.
Look, yeah. You shouldn't be able to ride your service dog. It should stand next to you. And look, you know, my feeling is, obviously she freaked out. He's a veteran with PTSD. That's a little different than the, you know, housewife who's had too many plastic surgeries, who's, you know, strung out on Norco and needs her lap dog. This is a different. I still don't like the dog in the eatery.
Yeah,
But here's her screaming at him.
I'm going to push it just like I did. There's nothing you can do about it. Nothing. I'm leaving because the food is nasty and there's a dog. So what? What do you want to do about it? Nothing.
He's alive because he fought for our country.
Congratulations. Congrats. So did my husband's dead. My husband's dead. Get you. What's your point?
Because he's alive.
My husband's dead. What for the f***?
So did he. That's why he has a dog.
So what? It's still nasty to me. I don't care.
No, it's not.
It's nasty to me. You can't.
Feel sorry for the 71-year-old guy who just comes there because they have good brisket.
Yeah.
He's got to stand in the background and
his back hurts. His head hurts too.
And he's like,
I
hope I die soon.
Okay, so
are you going to make me?
Just stop.
I didn't think so.
All right, so what made you say PTSD? I'll tell you why it is. But go ahead.
I was just people tweet me stuff.
Yeah.
And they say stuff like, whose side are you on? Because I don't like service dogs.
Yeah.
On the other hand, please understand, everybody, I have plenty of room for making decisions, rendering decisions, such as veteran.
Adjudicating.
Yes. We have a veteran with post-traumatic stress disorder, not one of the Hilton sisters who wants to travel with Fluffy. And I see shades of gray.
You don't fall down the slippery slope.
And then people are like, whoa, you said, yeah, I know I said, but it wasn't because of this guy. It was because of everyone else who got a fake note from their doctor who glommed on to this.
Yeah.
So I don't like service dogs, but I do like service dogs for people who truly need service dogs. I don't like them in places where you go to eat. On the other hand, if you're going to go in, go to the counter, order a sandwich, and leave, that's fine. If your 120-pound dog is going to sit on the table, well, that's a different situation. She, and we do a lot of this, and we're so naive, like, oh, look at this crazy woman freaking out. She's not freaking out. She's acting out.
Yes.
And she's acting out because she was obviously traumatized.
Okay, so here's the traumatic elements. Number one, 0 to 60. You saw that?
Whew.
That's trauma stuff.
Yes.
Zero to 100, really, in this case.
Yeah, supercar speeds, 2.6 seconds.
Yeah, zero to 100. And then I'm being attacked.
Right.
It's about me. It freaks me out. And I'm freaked out. And you don't appreciate that. And this personal pain that is always interpreted, the environment's always impinging on me, that's a reenactment. Because the guy just... Guy's walking his dog.
Guy's standing there with his dog.
Guy wants to leave.
Right. So we're taking people... We are traumatizing, or taking kids, or traumatizing them because of the families they come from, and then we're pushing them out into society, and we're expecting them to be reasonable.
But then we're politicizing the acting out.
Right.
Which is really what's the problem right now.
Right.
As opposed to sort of looking at solutions and addressing what it is. Hang on.
Hold on.
All right. Go ahead.
Drew.
Calls.
It's Drew, everybody. All right. Robert, 34.
Yeah, hi.
What's going on?
Yeah. Long time listener, second time caller. I've been listening to you guys actually since I was 12, which I probably shouldn't have been, but I
believe you said that last time too.
Yeah. So I am
just get
I'm
rid of
married
the,
to a woman.
Hold on. Gary, you don't need to have the thing on the screen anymore. Thanks.
I think he's kinda copying it. But go ahead.
It's all right. Go ahead, Robert.
Okay, cool. So I'm married to a woman. We have a 3-year-old daughter. I'm very committed to our relationship. But after the narcissism test, I started to notice that a lot of those questions she would have answered in the high-scoring sense. I, of course, score very, pathologically low, like Drew. And then I started to notice some other things since then, and I don't know if I've just been primed to start noticing these things. And I'm starting to wonder... is it worth even looking into, am I married to a narcissist? And if so, what does that mean for our relationship, or how do I go about dealing with that?
The big sort of liability, of course, in narcissism is the lack of empathy. So if you want your feelings to be cared for and nourished and that kind of thing, not likely going to happen. At least certain, at least in important circumstances, you know, in certain situations, she'll be completely unable to do it.
The, we're already dealing with that through our through issues, things like I communicate with her, and then immediately she shifts the topic back to herself and keeps talking. I bring this up as a problem, and she's confused that it's a problem.
Right, and then the bigger issue. I mean, you're an adult; you have other resources. You can solve your problems by other means. You don't have to get all your needs met by your wife, but your child does, and that's the bigger problem. You know, most you know, in addition to trauma, as Adam was talking about, the big other problem that we've been dealing with the last 30 years is children of narcissistic parents, which is the other trauma in and of itself. So would she be open to any kind of therapy is the question here. Not that you can really change the narcissism, but you can sort of just change how it manifests a little bit.
Yeah, so she is going to therapy. We're actually – she's going to her own therapist pretty much every other week, and then about once or twice a month we meet with an excellent therapist that I had as a couples counselor.
Look, that's about the best you can do. And you might might pull the therapist aside or call him or her and go – you know, what am I dealing with? I like to educate myself. Is this a borderline personality or is this a narcissistic personality? What's the construct here? And give me some reading, okay?
But I think you're on the right track.
Oh, yeah.
You're smart and you're fine. And, you know, some of these things, you're youngish. She's youngish. Some of these things tend to settle.
That's true.
So you can look forward to the
30 years.
The snow globe. At least the snow globe isn't being, you know, it's off the paint can shaker at this point, and it's settling. And it's important for you to settle, too, in terms of being aware of how she operates.
It's funny he mentioned my score on the narcissism test, and when he said that, I actually went through that little thought process in my head. I thought, I wonder if that's the aging process that it settles that down, because I was more in the teens when I took it 10, 15 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Low. And I understand why someone might want to put off getting home security, too. The sales guys, the long-term contract, expensive installations. I mean, I've resisted that. Well, I've done it and then been unhappy with it and then resisted it, but now you can get the protection so easily. All you have to do is get a Simply Safe home security system. It is top of the line. They send it to you. You put it up. It installs in minutes, and it can travel with you if you move. There are no long-term contracts, no hidden fees. You order it online, set it up on average in an hour or so. Home and family is then protected 24/7. It is Simply Safe. So you do go to Simply Safe with an I, S-I-M-P-L-I, safe.com. And type in the word Adam and the word 2, not the number 2, but the word T-W-O. So it's simplysafe.com/Adam2. Again, simplysafe.com, Adam T-W-O. Or you just go over to Best Buy, your local Best Buy, and just get Simply Safe right off the shelf. Get it right now, install it, and you're done in an hour. You don't have to wait for the mail or the
drone.
No.
They're sending them on drones,
okay, drone.
Drew.
Wait for the drone. They get it in a few hours through Amazon. Again, get 10% off now with your simplysafe.com/Adam2, T-W-O. And if you go to Best Buy, you don't get that 10% off because there's no way to enter a code there.
All right. Friday, October 13th, Minneapolis Music Hall, me, stand-up. Saturday, October 14th, Nashville, Polk Theater, me, stand-up, one-man show. And then you go to adamcarolla.com because we're doing a lot of live podcasts all over the place as well. Coming up most recently, October 5th, Irvine Improv. You got a Chassy, C-H-A-S-S-Y. We got movies over there and Corolla Drinks and Drewski.
Go to drdrew.com. Check out our family podcast, me and Spaz, me and Mike Catherwood, me and Bob Forrest. Got a bunch of good stuff there. And the Dr. Drew podcast. As I said, you listened last week to what we did. It was a long-form interview with Susan Pinsky and Lynette Corolla. Chris loved that. He never didn't quite recover from it. I leave the room and let them talk to themselves, and I promise them I wouldn't listen to it. So it's all Adam and I are blinded to whatever it is they said. So take a listen yourself.
So until next time, Adam Corolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.